Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
You know, it's very interesting how God moves sometimes. One of the things I very seldom do is discuss with anyone what my message is going to be about ahead of time. I don't give them an idea of what my sermon is or anything like that. And it's just amazing to me how many times God speaks to the heart of the worship team as the songs are picked out and the songs go in with the message then. Some of these songs today, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Word of God, speak." God, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts today. You know, one of the things that I have done for years is if there's a key word maybe in the message, I like to look that word up in the dictionary and find out exactly what the meaning of that English word is. And the particular word today that I researched the meaning on is communion, or communing. What is the meaning? And of course, as we look toward the platform this morning, you see the communion plates on the table. And we normally think about the communion service where we serve the bread and the cup and we remember the Lord's Supper, how Jesus gathered with His disciples on the eve of His crucifixion. And He broke the bread. He blessed the cup. And we share that service because He told us as oft as we do that. We do it in remembrance of Him. Some churches do it every Sunday. Some churches do it ever so often, maybe once a month or whatever. To me, it's a special time. I don't like for it to become something that people say, "Oh, well, it's that time again. We just do that," you know, because it's that time of the month or whatever that we do that particular service. And we think about communion in that sense. And so if you mention the word communion most times, that's what especially people in church are going to think about, the communion service. And we will be having communion service at the close of the message today. But that's not what the message is about. So as I looked up some of the definitions of the word communion or communing, I'll leave out the ones that had to do with the Lord's Supper. But another definition is sharing thoughts and feelings. It goes on to say it's an act or instance of sharing. It's intimate fellowship or rapport. And then highlighted in this definition was the word communication. Some of the synonyms for communion are rapport, fellowship, rapprochement. Some of the related words are accord, agreement, harmony, oneness, empathy, unity, understanding, friendliness, friendship, and a number of other words here that we won't take time to mention all of them. So we want to deal with the definitions around the word communion as being communication. We need to have communication or communion with God. There are some number of biblical examples, and we're only going to deal with a few today. But the earliest one that goes back, as I was seeking God for this message and He began to speak with my heart about it, goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. And in verse 8, and this is after Adam and Eve have partaken of the forbidden fruit. And the Bible says here in chapter 3, verse 8, they heard the voice of Adonai God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai God among the trees in the garden. Why were they doing this? Because it says that they were expecting God's presence to be there. Walking in the garden at that time, this was not something that was unexpected. It was a routine thing that they had a daily communion or communication with God. It says he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, as it reads in King James. It said in the evening breeze here in the translation we just read. And they were expecting him to show up, and they knew. Down deep in their hearts, that they were no longer in the same fellowship with God that they had walked in just 24 hours earlier. Think about it. Mankind, starting with Adam and Eve, was designed to have a close communion with God, to fellowship with God. He didn't create us out of a whim just because he could do so. He created us to have fellowship. Otherwise, he would not have walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He would not have visited them daily. I know there are some branches of thought that God is out there, but he created us, and I won't call it Christianity because it's not Christianity, but that God, there is a God, he created us, but he left us all on our own to fend for ourselves, and he's waiting for some time down the road to see how things turn out. No, that's not what his word says. He created us to have fellowship with us because it's proven here in Genesis chapter 3 that he had fellowship with us. As I said, there are many others, but some that are outstanding have to do with Moses. Moses, at the particular time we're going to deal with here, I've got to remind you at this particular time in Moses' life, he's somewhere in his middle age years. He is a wanted fugitive out on the backside of the desert. The Bible tells us tending his father-in-law's sheep. Remember, this is the guy who was born into a Hebrew family. It was decreed that all male Hebrew babies were to be killed. His mother hid him in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter rescued him. He's raised in the palace. And then one day he lashes out against the Egyptians when he sees one abusing a fellow Hebrew, and he becomes a wanted man. So now, having gone from the palaces of Egypt to the backside of the desert, he seems to be, it would appear, quite content tending sheep. Walking along one day, and it says that he sees a bush burning. As I've mentioned before, burning bushes like that out in the desert sometimes are not all that uncommon to see a bush burn, spontaneous combustion. But it flares up and goes back out pretty quick. What caught his eye was this bush continued to burn. And it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the angel of Adonai appeared to him in the fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that altogether the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up. This got his attention. I don't know how much communion with God that Moses had had up to this time. We do know that because when Pharaoh's daughter rescued him, she then hired his mother, unknowingly, to be his nanny, so to speak. And I'm sure that his mother instilled some thoughts and things into his life as he was a young child that stuck with him. And it goes on to say then in verse 4, when Adonai saw that he had gone over to see God, called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he answered, "Here I am." God began to speak. God began to communicate with Moses. Began to tell him his plan for Moses to go back to Egypt and lead God's people out of bondage into the promised land. But first of all, Moses had to listen to God. If you read the entire story in the Bible, you find out there was some communication going on there. Because God is saying, "Moses, I want you to go do this." And Moses saying, "Well, no, not me, Lord. I'm not capable here." And for every time Moses gave an excuse, God gave a way out of that excuse. When we listen to God, it may not always be what we want to hear. He may tell us some things that we don't want to do. But we need to be listening and be obedient to the voice of God when he speaks to us. And is he going to speak to us out of the midst of a burning bush? Not too likely. But he will speak to us in many other ways, which we'll get into later. Then we also find Moses, again in another situation. In Exodus 24, they're out in the middle of the desert. They're out by Mount Sinai. And it says in 24:15-18, "Then Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up to the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." Then dropping down to chapter 31, verse 18, and it says, "Thus when the Lord had made an end of communing with Moses upon Mount Sinai, he gave him 2 tablets of the testimony, even tablets of stone written with the finger of God." But let's go back to the first part of that verse. It says, "And thus when the Lord had made an end of communing," when God made an end of talking to Moses up there, Moses communicated with God, it says, for 40 days up there. Think about it. And those are just a couple of examples of God communicating or communing with man. There are a number of other examples that are in the Bible where God communicates with man, when he communes with man. As we read in the prophets, as he spoke to the prophets and told them various things, some of them particularly like Daniel or in the Old Testament, or Elijah, or some of these various prophets that he spoke to, or we find in the New Testament one in particular that we think about when we think of God communing with man, and that was with John the Revelator out on the island of Patmos as he began to reveal to him the things that were to come, some of which we are seeing in our day almost 2,000 years later. God communicates with man. The problem is in the communication with man, sometimes man doesn't want to listen to what God has to say. And I would almost guarantee that every one of us here, at some time God may have communicated with us and we didn't want to hear particularly what God had to say, because it didn't go along with the plans that we had. It happens to a lot of people. Not me, Lord. We all get the Moses syndrome. Not me. Choose somebody else. But God communicates. Jesus, well, let me put it this way. In the past, there were several ways that God communicated with man. He sometimes communicated with man via angels. But you know, the word angel in the Bible can also be translated messenger. And sometimes when it talks about angels, it's talking about messengers, and it can be a human person then. a messenger of God that is going forth to give the message that God gave them to give to the whoever. Sometimes he communicates through visions. Anybody here ever had a vision? Sometimes he communicates through dreams. And I think he communicates to a lot of us through dreams. I remember years ago we were planning a trip, a missions trip to Guyana. And at that particular time, the only thing you could find out about Guyana was that's where Jim Jones took a lot of people and they all drank the Kool-Aid and they all died, about almost 1,000 people. And that was our knowledge of the country of Guyana pretty much. But sometimes as God communicates to us and in his dreams, he kind of shows it to us in things that we were a little bit familiar with. So we understand it better. And I remember one of the things he communicated to me through a dream, and I really believe this was God communicating this to me, is I dreamed about as we arrived in the country of Guyana, and some of you older folks here maybe have been there, to Disneyland in California that had the Jungle Cruise. The way it was originally, I don't know, I haven't been there many, many years, but in my dream, God communicated to me something about the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland. I saw things in my dream that I related to the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland. And I remember as we arrived in the country of Guyana and we flew into the airport, which was located, you got it, in the jungle. And we're flying in and we're looking at this stuff. And as we get out, I remember saying, it's just like I saw in the dream. The airport layout, everything. As God had communicated to me that. I had a feeling of familiarity there with that. So sometimes God communicates to us through dreams. And sometimes he communicates to us through an audible voice. Anybody here ever hear the audible voice? Okay, we've got one person shaking their head. I don't know that I've ever heard the audible voice of God. But he also communicates to us through what? That still, small voice that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And it communicates to most of us that way, through that still, small voice. The one that sometimes we chalk off to various other things that could be happening. But he begins to speak to us, and we need to listen to what God has to say. I told you earlier how last year as I was in the hospital that God spoke to my heart through the still small voice, giving me peace that I didn't have at the time. I'll tell you, I was very anxious. I don't even really know how to describe it. But as God spoke to me, I knew then, as he said, I'm in control. I said, okay. He also showed me who to delegate stuff to. And my wife got a lot of delegation. But he speaks to us. Jesus told his disciples that he had to go away. You know, Jesus was born in a human body. The Bible tells us that. He came as man. He was God incarnate in the flesh. He was born as a baby. He grew up just like normal babies grow up and become adults, going through all the stages that a human being would go through. So based on that, if they hadn't crucified Jesus, just being a little speculative here, he would have gotten older. And he might have experienced some of the same things that we go through as we get older. But he's telling him, I am not going to be here forever in the flesh like I am right now. I have to go away. Because you see, at that particular time, God was communicating with man through Jesus Christ. in the flesh. They heard his voice. They saw what he did. A number walked with him on a daily basis. Multitudes gathered to hear him speak. But he said, I'm going to have to go away. Now, this would normally be very upsetting to people, I would suppose, because he says to them then, but I am not going to leave you comfortless. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you fatherless, but I will come to you. Then in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, which I have told you. I'm still going to be there in a sense. I'm going to be there through the Holy Spirit that I'm going to send. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not here all alone to do whatever you've got to do. The presence of God is going to dwell in you through the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 of John chapter 14, which says, but the Comforter, in the complete Jewish Bible, it uses the Hebrew word, the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, which means the Counselor. And he said in verse John chapter 20, verse 22, and he said, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said, and when he had said that, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Comforter. Now, this was not the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down in tongues of fire upon them as they were gathered in the upper room. But he blessed them. And I looked up the words in the Greek that can be translated Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Spirit, hagios pneuma. Hagios meaning sacred, consecrated, or simply holy. Pneuma. Now, we should all be familiar with that word because we all have rubber tires on our cars that are filled with air. They're called pneumatic tires. We use tools that are hooked up to an air hose. It's a pneumatic tool. Pneuma meaning breath or breathe or air. And it says here the best translations for this are breath or spirit. I read the word about the verse about where he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, because it's the breath of God that comes upon us. The holy breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God that comes upon us. And so when Jesus said he was sending a comforter, he was sending the God breathe upon you. We not only need to be in communion with God, but it's a must that we as Christians be in communion with God. We must be in communication with God. Communion, communication. Sometimes you might want to think, if you're in one of those places where maybe you're seated somewhere, and maybe you just kind of come lost in the Spirit. Anybody know that experience, being lost in the Spirit? It's where nothing else around you matters. Time doesn't matter. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember the event, but I don't remember the time involved. And maybe I'm not phrasing that exactly right, but I remember going to church. I remember going down to the altar. I remember giving my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I remember praying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I also know that there are a couple of hours of my life that I have no knowledge of what went on around me, even though I was in a church full of people and other people were praying loudly, I suppose. I remember kneeling at an altar. I remember, the next thing I remember is I was over underneath a baby grand piano. I don't know how I got there, because I was communing with God. Communing with God. Communication, or communing with God through the Holy Spirit, is God's breath in us as we communicate back and forth. And how do we communicate? I know we talk about prayer, and prayer is communication with God. But most of the time when we pray, it's kind of a one-way conversation, isn't it? God, I need this, and this, and this, and this, and this. It's like a little kid giving their Christmas list. You know how the little kid goes to the mall at Christmas time? He gets up on Santa Claus's lap, and Santa Claus asks him what he wants, and the kid pulls out a list and says, okay, where do we start, you know? Well, that's kind of sometimes we take our prayers. But actually our prayers, our communication with God, doesn't mean that we have to be in a certain place at a certain time to do it. It doesn't necessarily mean that we got to come down and kneel at an altar to do it. We can communicate with God anytime, any place, anywhere. And some of us might have times in our daily lives that we find are very convenient for us to communicate with God. And I know some people might say that some of the places you find it's because of what's going on around you that causes you to communicate. But one of the things I've always found in communicating with God, or praying and having a conversation with God, is driving down the interstate. And I know that will help you to be in communication. But I find there was nothing to distract me, because I don't listen to the radio or anything else while I'm driving down the highway. So it's quiet. The only thing I've got is the road noise. And I begin to pray. I've gotten a lot of my sermons while driving down the interstate as God begins to speak to my heart. I used to keep a notepad in my truck, and I would scribble little notes of just maybe one word to help me remember what God had spoke to my heart about. As we communicate with God, we need to commune with God. We need those times of quiet communion where we just feel His presence overwhelming us. And we need those times that we can maybe verbally, and we pray out loud and we communicate with God. And sometimes we're in a place where we can't do that, and we pray within our spirit to God, and He hears us. If I talk to you just in my spirit, you have any idea who I just said something to? I said, hello, Larry, but none of you heard it, because you don't hear it. But God hears it when we communicate with Him. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our deeds. He knows everything about us. I'm thankful that we have a God that loves us so much that we can communicate with Him. Because let's face it, looking back at history, starting from today, looking back in history, we find out that we've had a lot of leaders and people in authority that could care less about me or you. And our chances of communicating with them are absolutely zilch. They don't care about us. They may be an authority, but they don't care about us. God's the ultimate authority, and He cares about us. And He loves us, and He communicates with us. We need to be open to the communication with God, and we need to communicate with God on a daily basis. Wherever you may be, you can communicate with God. That's the great thing about it. And your battery never dies. You know, sometimes you got your cell phone out, that battery dies, and your communication with whoever just ceased. Our communication with God doesn't depend upon that. It's ongoing. Father, I thank you today that you love us so much that you made it possible for us to communicate with you, to have fellowship with you 24/7, Father. Anytime, any place, anywhere, we can commune with you. I thank you for that. And Father, I ask if there's someone listening to this message over the internet or some other means that really doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, has really not had a chance or even thought about communicating with you, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to their heart. And Father, I know that there are times when the Holy Spirit speaks to the hearts of people that have never heard about you, and begins to speak to their hearts and begins to reveal you unto them. And Father, even if that's the case, I pray, Father, that you would speak to those people today. Help them to know you. Help them to realize what you've done for them. Help them to realize they need Jesus as their personal Savior. I thank you for these things now, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just raise.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.